Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. The congregation would want me to proclaim to you that Daleville Christian Church believes these words in the Bible come from God, that God who created everything cares about us, and the God who cares about us is trying to communicate with us, and God uses his word first. So as a minister, I'm a minister of God's Word, here to apply the Word of God to our situation, here to open the words of God for you to hear them, and I hope for you to come to understand what the God I serve wants to say to you in your situation. I would want you to know of God's love, to know God's comfort and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in his word is true, even though parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, they still are able to speak to us. I will mention Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus taught about God. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Heavenly Father." We have an affirmation of our faith, and today's is from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that is Jesus, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. The reading of God's word for today is simply two verses from the letter to Titus, in the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. We read this a few weeks ago as our Bible reading, and we have a different emphasis today. The apostle wrote, "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." May the Lord add his blessing this reading of his holy word. Today, Daleville Christian Church votes on the elders' recommendation for a new lead pastor here at Daleville Christian Church. This sermon is not about that decision today. What the sermon is about is whatever decision you make about the next lead pastor at Daleville Christian Church, there's a larger issue, and the larger issue is, in part, you. What are you going to do when a new lead pastor comes? Whenever the next lead pastor comes, whether this month or next summer or next year, what are you going to do? Because a new lead pastor has to come here eventually. Whenever the next lead pastor comes, because a new lead pastor has to come here eventually, the bigger question is, what are you going to do? Will you let the next lead pastor lead? Will you hang on desperately to your personal preferences? Or will you be led on the mission of Jesus? What did the apostle say? The apostle Paul will say this about his own behavior in the churches. "Even as I try to please everyone in every way, I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." That's the mission. I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. The Apostle Paul was never looking to accomplish Paul's personal preferences. Paul's not seeking to save himself. Paul sought to save others. If Paul had to be in prison trying to save others, then that's the way things had to be. It was never about what Paul wanted. Remember the people I told you about a few weeks ago who couldn't handle the fact that in our contemporary service we didn't pass the offering plate? And now we don't pass the offering plate at Daleville Christian Church, and Daleville Christian Church has more money than it has ever had. That practice of passing the plate was a sacred cow to some people. It was a sacred cow. It couldn't be touched or harmed. But I have a book title that says, sacred cows make the best burgers. That passing the plate sacred cow has made a pretty tasty burger for Daleville Christian Church when we decided to cook it instead of leaving it alone. But Daleville Christian Church has more money than it's ever had without passing the plate reminds me of an announcement one church treasurer made. He said, "I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is that this church has all the money it needs for our next project. The bad news is the money is still in your wallets." But just remember, sacred cows make the best burgers. Although I've mentioned more than once that the word retirement is not in the Bible does show us several leave-takings by the leader. This leave-taking is mentioned by the apostle in his letter to Titus, our God's word reading for today. The best-known leave-taking is Jesus' ascension into heaven as Jesus leaves the earth and Jesus leaves his disciples. Jesus' ascension has always gotten some attention in the church because Jesus left the disciples in such a dramatic way. Acts chapter 1, after Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And as we've discussed, Jesus did not leave the disciples right away after Jesus' resurrection. The book of Acts reminds us, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So there was some preparation for Jesus' leave-taking, and Jesus had offered some explanation for this leave-taking. John chapter 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The Greek word translated expedient, profitable, literally means bring with. Jesus is saying that my leaving you brings something to you. Other translations have put this verse as, "It's to your advantage that I go away. It's for your benefit that I go away. It's good for you that I go away." Now, we can say that we cannot know how convinced the disciples were of Jesus' claim, that there was a benefit for them to have Jesus leave them. Why might they have some doubt? Because we are human and some changes we just don't like. But it is because our vision is too limited and our imaginations are often too small. Depression and hopelessness are truly often vision problems. People can't see a better tomorrow. But that's why faith in God and Christ is so important. Jesus can see a better tomorrow. Jesus came to give everyone a better tomorrow. "Behold, the risen Jesus said, I make all things new." Revelation 21. I've often advised people, God wants to bring you something, but if your hands are full, you can't receive it. You will have to let go of something so you can receive what God wants to give you. Often our hands are full of things that are not important, but you understand the meaning of the word "bring with" as Jesus used it here. Jesus can't bring Daleville Christian Church a new lead pastor until the old lead pastor is leaving, and my leave-taking is on the calendar. And I made it clear that if the right person shows up, I'm not hanging on. There would be a period of mentoring or professional advising. You might see me around the office or around the campus at times, but I'm gone. The old will be gone, the new will have come. Those are Bible words. I suppose, in the age of the computer, we can say that what you have now and what you are using in me as lead pastor is old software. I'm old computer software. God wants to bring you an updated version, which will be better. How many times have I doubted that a new software for my computer will be better for me? I am what the tech people call a slow adapter. I don't warm up to new things quickly. But there are people who do warm up to new things quickly. Some of us know people who have the latest gadgets, and I'm always surprised. I didn't know those things were even available, let alone how well they work. I have a son-in-law who's very gadget-aware. He has them and he uses them to his advantage. So I, in my retirement, can say to myself and to you what the software companies tell me about the software I'm using now. It's to your advantage that the old software goes away. It's to your benefit that the old software goes away. It's good for you that the old software goes away. Now, you still might have your doubts. That's okay. Don't you imagine that the disciples had their doubts also about Jesus leaving them? Again, after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples probably had painful memory flashbacks when Jesus left the first time when Jesus was arrested. And what happened when Jesus left the disciples the first time and was arrested? The disciples disgraced themselves and all ran away from Jesus. The last time the disciples saw Jesus go away, Jesus died hanging on a cross. You can be sure that when Jesus told them that Jesus was going away again, they had doubts. So Jesus reassured them, "It's to your advantage that I go away. It's for your benefit that I go away. It's good for you that I go away." Now, how are the disciples going to know that? By being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, "It's to your advantage that I go away. It's for your benefit that I go away. It's good for you that I go away." And how was that proven true? The Holy Spirit led the disciples out of Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit led the disciples out of Judea. The Holy Spirit led the disciples into all the world, making disciples teaching what Jesus commanded. Pretty soon after Jesus left the disciples and went to heaven, there were baptisms not just in the Jordan River, but there were baptisms in the Mediterranean Sea. Then there were baptisms in the Red Sea. And then there were baptisms in the Aegean Sea. And after a few years, there were baptisms in the Tiber River in Rome. And none of that was going to happen until Jesus left the disciples to go to the Heavenly Father. But remember Jesus' words, John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you." Now, you and I know I'm not Jesus. The Holy Spirit is already here with you. But Jesus' point is well taken. He cannot come if the new cannot come if the old is still hanging around. Briefly, let's look at one of the apostles' leave-taking mentioned in the letter to Titus. The apostle states it clearly in just a few words. "The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished." For whatever reason or reasons, the apostle was not going to stay on the island of Crete. The apostle had to be elsewhere. Somewhere else our Lord wanted the apostle to be. And the apostle left Titus there on Crete to do the things that were left unfinished. Friends, there are things in Daleville and the Daleville area that are left unfinished. The work is not done here. I remember when I first came to Daleville and all the work that I had to do, I realized I would never be done with the work. My job would never be finished. I hoped that since I would never finish the work here, that at least the next guy wouldn't have as much to do as I did. But there would be work for him to do. The mission here at Daleville Christian Church remains. And as I have mentioned, I believe I've done my part. The elders together determined that they wanted to find a lead pastor for the future. Me, I'm not young enough for the future. I'm not young enough to lead this church into the future. But that means that this candidate, or any candidate the elders would bring to you, any candidate and every candidate, is an attempt by the elders to hire a pastor for the future. The elders, we all knew, we could hire a new pastor for today, the present. But here was the elders' concern. If we find a lead pastor for the present, in 20 years, most of us would have our names on the church's All Saints banner. But there wouldn't be anyone here in the sanctuary to see our names on the All Saints banner if we hired for the present day. The elders want to call a new pastor for the future. If we hire for the future, in 20 years, we can still all have our names on Daleville Christian Church's saint banner, and there will be a congregation here to see our names on the All Saints banner. That's what the elders want for you, Daleville Christian Church. But Jesus' point is still well taken. The new cannot come if the old is hanging around. Remember, our Lord said, Mark chapter 2, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. It's all ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. And the resurrected Jesus also said, behold, I'm making all things new. Amen.